morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris Vanderkook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We're getting into giving season, and that means a certain kind of pressure for nonprofits, doesn't it?
That's true, and many nonprofits will tell you they feel that pressure all year long, especially when it comes to how well they can respond to their communities, both internal pressure and external pressure. And as you know, Hawaii's nonprofits are increasingly asked to do more. And as Chris mentions, very soon you'll be likely fielding many requests to end for the end of the year charitable giving. How you decide to give will probably turn on how well you see the organization using donations to serve the community it targets, and whether that means a chapter of a large national organization or maybe a smaller local group. How you judge its effectiveness could hinge on how well they meet the community where it is. Rich Harwood of the Maryland-based Harwood Institute for Public Innovation calls that turning outward. Rich Harwood is a keynote speaker at the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations Conference on Friday, and he joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Thank you for being here. We've heard lots of catchphrases over the years. One that a lot of people probably carry in their heads is the idea of leaning in. But what's the difference between leaning into your community or leaning into an organization and turning outward?
Well, look, you can lean into all sorts of things. You can lean into your strategic plan. You can lean into creating a better logo for your organization. You can lean into making sure your board has good governance rules and procedures. But turning outward is something different. It's about making the community itself your reference point for everything you do and making sure that what we're focused on is what really matters to people in our communities. And what we find, to your point about donations and giving, is the groups that are able to turn outward and focus on what matters to people tend to be seen as more relevant and significant and impactful in the life of the community. And they tend to end up raising more money because of that.
That sounds like it requires a very active board and a very active staff, which gets out into the community as opposed to sort of, sits and develops plans elsewhere.
Yeah, what we say is the community has to be your reference point, not your conference room, right? So it means that the staff of the nonprofit, the board of the nonprofit, their volunteers, that our orientation has to be the community itself. Now, it sounds obvious, it sounds really basic, it sounds like it ought to be really easy, but in this day and age, it's actually very difficult. There's so many pressures on nonprofits to perform, to meet certain metrics, to raise money for their budgets, and it's real easy to lose sight of the community while we're trying to achieve these other things. But what we've said to folks is, look, if you can flip that, if you can make the community a reference point, these other things become a lot easier.
What I also hear you saying is that there really is no substitute for putting feet out on the sidewalk in communities and talking to people, and that then becomes the information point for everything else from which your strategic plan may flow.
Exactly. So even if you're out in the community engaging people, the question then becomes, so what do I do with that knowledge? Am I really using it to make choices about the strategies and initiatives that we create? Am I really using it to understand the actual capacities of the community so that we're aligning our work in ways that really have a chance to succeed? Am I using that knowledge in a way to mobilize volunteers with a greater sense of purpose, larger than ourselves? And so part of it is, yes, listening to the community and engaging with the community. And the other part is, how do I take that knowledge and apply it and hold myself accountable for the choices and judgments that I make on an ongoing basis?
Rich Harwood, does that become more difficult when you're talking about, for example, large national organizations that may have a chapter in a state, but given a state like ours where we're disconnected from each other by ocean, or maybe bound by ocean if you prefer, that it's directed in a way that may be something that doesn't really bespeak localism?
Great question, and we work with a lot of these national organizations that have affiliates in states and in local communities, and what I say to them all the time is, look, you can create a general framework for folks, but if you really want the affiliates in the states and communities where they operate to be relevant and significant in the life of their communities, you've got to give them the leeway to make those choices to be able to focus on things that matter to people in those communities and in those states. for too long we've tried a one-size-fits-all, whether it's from Washington, D.C. or elsewhere. It doesn't work. It's been proven it doesn't work. And I think we've got to come up with smarter and better ways to get things done in our communities.
So how do you advise some of these organizations, for example, when there is a national fundraising event or a type of event that's replicated in many states, and it may not necessarily work in this one?
Well, look, you could take an organization that works on education nationwide, and I know here in Hawaii you're wrestling with education reform now. The question is, will those national organizations take strategies that maybe worked in Chicago or New York City or Kentucky or West Virginia and say to Hawaii, look, you've got to apply those across the neighboring islands in a uniform way? Or do they say, look, education is an important value in the United States. We want to make sure that all children have a fair shot at the American dream and can fulfill their God-given potential. What works in Hawaii or what works on one of the islands as opposed to one of the neighboring islands may be different and probably is different than what works in Chicago or New York. We've got to create that kind of flexibility if we want people to take ownership of the challenges they face in their communities, if we want to mobilize people to work on those challenges, and if we want to restore people's belief that we can get things done together.
All right, and let's flip that over to how we look at a small organization that has a very, you know, niche directive and mission and is trying to serve its community in a very narrow fashion. How do you advise them to be able to turn outward? Does that also include create as many partnerships as you can? Because that seems to be where we see a lot of organizations going.
Absolutely. You know, one of the first things I say to folks in those situations, and we work with a lot of organizations that are small, maybe one staff person, two staff people, what we say is, first of all, you can't be all things to all people. So we've got to make choices about, A, understanding what matters to people, B, what's your contribution to moving things forward in terms of what matters to people, and C, as you said, Bethann, how do you form partnerships so that you can get greater work done with greater leverage? You know, there's this belief that somehow organizations or leaders are supposed to be able to get all this done on their own. The challenges that we face here in Hawaii and across the United States are much larger than any one organization or one leader can solve on their own. We've got to find better ways to come together to get things done.
If there would be one thing that you would want Hawaii to know, from your perspective, having dealt with so many organizations in the United States and in other countries too, what's that one thing?
I think the one thing would be to make sure that we are, in fact, turned outward toward our communities, that we have people in our line and sight, that we ensure that every individual in our community is afforded dignity, that we see and hear all people, and that we try to bring people together and organizations together across dividing lines so that we actually can make life better for people in our communities and give them a real shot at fulfilling their potential.
Rich Harwood, thank you so much. Look forward to hearing you on Friday.
Thanks, Bethann.
Rich Harwood is founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. It's a nonpartisan, independent nonprofit whose work has spread through U.S. communities and nearly 40 countries. And through partnerships with some of the world's largest nonprofits, those would include United Way Worldwide, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and AARP. The Hano Annual Conference and Awards happen on Friday. Details are on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.